Draisaitl is there. Draisaitl to McDavid. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over! The Oilers move on!
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
Woo-hoo!
Man, at least we've had good Stanley Cup playoffs, right? ESPN on the
awesome.
Call there.
Did you watch that last night?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it between the boring game that I was also watching.
It was so good.
You know, it really is interesting. The NHL is kind of going through that transition, too, where you're seeing the next generation of star take that next step. The NBA has it as well. And that's what's great for leagues. You've got to have that transition period where the star players, the guys that are considered the next, get their opportunity, you know, and really get a chance to thrive. And that's what we're seeing right now. Chris Abbott, who's the national...
They got to be who's now. They got to be now.
No, we're not doing that. Yeah. You know, can you save some of that? I know I'll be doing a lot of the show with you this summer, I know as well. Save some of that
for
me.
You want to save all the who's now? You want
to
save it?
I want to save the who's nows. But we'll make it like... I just have to make it like utterly ridiculous. We'll figure this out. By the way, I'm stealing the draft bet tomorrow on Countdown 2 on my show.
Oh, yeah.
Eastern, right here on BetQL. We're stealing that. So Grant Paulson and I will be doing that tomorrow. Slightly different variations, of course. But since I did it with you, I have the right to steal it, but also credit You Better You Bet as part of the process. So
you
I was given
it.
Permission.
Here's
by
the patent.
You.
I'm handing you the patent across the screen. Right
I have at least just enough of investment in this that I can make it work. So Chris Abbott, national manager for Cool Bet Canada, joins us now at Cool Bet Chris on Twitter. So yeah, let's just start with Connor McDavid and really the NHL as a whole, Chris, because you know, this is a conversation we've had about the NBA where, you know, no LeBron in the playoffs, but guys like Luka, Ja Morant, I mean, Devin Booker for a while, whoever. Some of that next generation of young stars has really started to shine in the NBA. But we're also starting to see that now as well in the NHL. Connor McDavid everybody knew he was going to be a star, but I feel like now you're seeing him climb to that next level. Where would you sort of put the NHL in terms of, like, where the torch is being passed to the next great players? Is it now Connor McDavid sort of taken over? Do we still look at some of guys, you know, I mean, I love to say Alex Ovechkin, but I'm realistic with what goes on with the Capitals. But, you know, where is the NHL right now with that transition for their next generation of stars in your eyes?
Always going to be some Capitals content in the show.
Come on,
right?
Man. They let me down. They let me down, but at least I'll give them a plug when I can.
I mean, I think as good as a career that Alexander Ovechkin had, as amazing as Sidney Crosby had and was the best player in the world for a time, Connor McDavid's been the best player for a few years, but his team hasn't had any success. And he took that mantle he had of already being the best player, and he's just, you know, taken it to another three levels here in the playoffs. A lot of times people say if there was another league, Connor McDavid would be the best player in that too. He's just so good. And, you know, I don't like to gush over guys. Let's watch the hype here a little bit. But no, he's worth every single bit of it. And, you know, he wasn't the only reason that the Oilers got past the Calgary Flames. There was lots of reasons for it. But he was a major contributing factor. And it was super fitting that he got the overtime goal last night.
So, Chris, I'm curious. We talk about this. Bill Matz, our technical director, and I talk about this in the break sometimes because he and I have both been betting Conn Smythe like a lot. And we literally had the discussion in the last break before we brought you on. Like, I have a lot of McDavid at much better prices than this now. Obviously, he's had a great series. But it's pretty crazy. Bill brought up the point during the break. He and Draisaitl actually now have the same number of points in the Stanley Cup playoffs. As much as we think McDavid is, like, obviously this, like, legendary up-and-coming player, statistically, they're actually quite equal, which is very interesting because McDavid is basically becoming the favorite to win Conn Smythe. He's third right now, plus 425. And Draisaitl is 65-1. Maybe this is the stupidest question I've ever asked you. Like, Draisaitl can win the Conn Smythe? Maybe? Like, not at all if they win the cup? Has to be McDavid? Where are you at on that?
I mean, it doesn't have to be McDavid, but it's going to be McDavid unless McDavid gets injured. I think we've talked about this before, Ken, you and I, that if Leon Draisaitl was on any other team in the NHL, he would be the top player on that team. He's the second best player on his team. There's times when he's the best player on his team. When McDavid, you know, it's a long season and whatnot. Early in the year, Draisaitl was absolutely awesome. So he's definitely undervalued in everything. He had more than 3 points in every game in the series. So I mean, is it insane to put it? No, definitely not. But I think it would be very, very odd for them to win and Connor McDavid not be the Conn Smythe winner. But I mean, Draisaitl is outstanding. I mean, you know, a little away from the Conn Smythe odds, but you know, when you're looking at betting point props in the games, like McDavid over 1.5 points was like -150 for a couple of games, but Draisaitl would be like, you know, +140, you know, and they play it together all the time, and it would have been really good if people were betting on that for Leon.
Is there anybody else, you know, if we're looking at that Conn Smythe, because this is a thing that Ken loves, like we both kind of talk about end of season awards.
I'm obsessed with it, even more than me.
Yeah. End of season awards are like his thing, and we're always trying to find, maybe there's some value farther down that odds list a little bit. Is there anybody when you kind of look, go, you know, they have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, so this bet makes sense to me, there's a little more value? Like, are there any names down there that you maybe would consider?
Well, it's funny because we talked about this last week, and I was like, well, I think the Oilers are done, and there's lots of good value on the Oilers.
Fade McDavid. Fade him.
Yeah, I was like, you know, the Flames, lots of value on Flames players. So, I don't know. When you look down the list, I mean, let's be realistic here in that the Oilers are going to be an underdog in the next round and likely an underdog in the Stanley Cup final if they get that far. So, should they win? Yeah, McDavid's great. But I would look further down the list at a Nikita Kucherov with Tampa Bay at 9-1. I see him on the list I'm looking at now. Gosh, and then there's a lot of Oilers near the top. So, you know, there would be good value further down the list. If Carolina were to get there, you've got Sebastian Aho as +1,800 right now. And then, of course, you can't forget the guys on the Avalanche. We've already talked about these a little bit, but their top players are kind of at the top of the list. So I would say what jumps out to me right now would be Kucherov and maybe Aho and Shesterkin as really, really long shots because hey, the Rangers are still in this, at least for now, until tomorrow.
Well, yeah, well, let's get to that game then because I thought it was very interesting last night. And I don't watch a lot of regular season hockey, but I've found myself watching a lot of playoff hockey. Like, Carolina was leading by a goal in that game for a long time, and it felt like the Rangers had a 0.0% chance of winning the game because of how stifling Carolina's defense was. It was actually like really remarkable to watch. The Rangers like literally just couldn't even get remotely good scoring chances, like remotely good shots, any shots at all, basically. So Carolina wins. They take a 3-2 series lead. Game 6 is tomorrow night. It's basically like a pick kind of a game. Rangers -110, Hurricanes -106, despite the fact the Hurricanes, I don't think, have won a game on the road the entire postseason. Mm-hmm. The total is 5 as the totals continue to drop in this series. The under is hit, I think, in every game. You know, any bets stand out to you, side total, how you see the rest of the series playing out, Chris, with the Hurricanes and the Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Carolina hasn't won a game on the road, and that is concerning. And plus, they have to go to Madison Square Garden and try and finish the series. Not easy to do. So for me, I've got a Hurricanes to win it in 6 games or less ticket. So I've already bet the Rangers money line as a little bit of a hedge.
Sure.
And then, yeah, under 5, under 5.5, if you can get it at a half decent price. I think that goes without saying because the Hurricanes, who have had struggles scoring on the road, they can still play defensively on the road. Should get a low scoring game there. But yeah, it's an interesting one with the Hurricanes for me. This is going to be a hockey deep cut. The last time the Edmonton Oilers made the Stanley Cup final, they lost their starting goalie along the way. And the Hurricanes are coming through this with kind of a mishmash of goaltenders. And I was talking to some guys in Edmonton today who would really like another shot at the Hurricanes, although I'm not sure that the NHL wants a Carolina-Edmonton Stanley Cup final.
Talking to Chris Abbott, National Manager of Cool Bet Canada. Let's look at the game tonight. The Avalanche, the Blues. Avalanche looking to close out that series. If you look right now, Bet Rivers has Colorado at -167. You can get St. Louis at +143. Is this a closeout game for Colorado tonight? Is this series done?
I think so. Yeah, it has all the hallmarks of that. So, you know, all the action 2 nights ago was on Colorado in regulation. Colorado -1.5. And of course, the book wins again, right, with St. Louis. But I think the toll that takes, you know, it's a real thing. The emotional toll of coming back, winning in overtime, the letdown on home ice is a real thing. And you can't let down against this Colorado offense. So this might be a game where I take the Colorado puck line where it's much better number. You know, I'm looking +140, +145 for them, you know, to get that empty netter to seal the series. I think that's going to be my play in that game.
Chris, let's kind of like play this out a little bit. I think a lot of people expect Colorado to win that series. And you alluded to it already. We were talking about the Conn Smythe market with McDavid. And you correctly pointed out, like, look, we can all love Connor McDavid. And he just had the series clinching goal against Calgary. they're going to be a dog next series. They might be a big dog next series based on the pricing we've seen with Colorado against some other teams so far in the playoffs. If Colorado wins and it's Edmonton, Colorado with the Avs having home ice advantage, give me an idea of like, doesn't have to be what you think the series price will be. Like, what do you think it should be? Like, how big a favorite would Colorado have to be for you to not want to bet on them? How could you see that series playing out? How long do you think it'll go? Do we maybe think it's a short series because Colorado, you know, outmatches them? What will the totals be? Anything you have on kind of like looking ahead a little bit to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I mean, if memory serves, I think Edmonton or, well, Calgary was about a minus 250 series favorite in that one. So I can only imagine that Colorado will be at least that or bigger, unless, you know, the bookmakers decide, oh, well, maybe we like Edmonton more than we thought. But I don't know that they will. So, yeah, I think you're going to get whatever, at least a better than 2-1 series price on the Oilers going against Colorado. And I think we'll see a ton of goals. You got two goaltenders in Darcy Kemper and Mike Smith, who I don't think are Stanley Cup winning goalies. That's why, you know, I really like Tampa Bay to win the Stanley Cup at this point. I think we're going to see just a ton of goals in that Colorado-Edmonton series. So think what we just saw with Calgary and Edmonton, maybe not as crazy, but maybe. I do think we'll see a lot of goals because two high-powered offenses. Colorado can be a little bit loose in their defensive zone. Edmonton can be a little bit loose in their defensive zone. So I think we'll see a lot of goals. And to be completely honest with you, I wouldn't mind Edmonton as an underdog in that series. The atmosphere, the excitement in Alberta, those games are going to be really, really tough for the Avalanche. And if the Oilers can steal one in Denver, then I think they actually have a pretty good shot.
Yeah, listen, if you have Connor McDavid out there, I think the more he plays, the better it is for the league. Before we go, we got a couple of minutes here. Who do you think the Lightning want to play in the next round between Carolina and the Rangers?
That's a really good question. I would say they would prefer to play the Hurricanes at this point. I think the Hurricanes are built a little bit like the Lightning. I think we'd see a lot of low-scoring games there, and we have a distinct goaltending advantage for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Rangers have some pretty good offensive firepower, some really good goaltending. Honestly, I don't know that either of these teams really worry Tampa Bay this much, and they worry me to play Tampa Bay. The way the Lightning have played in their own end has just been outstanding. So I think a Hurricane series would be long and grueling. They probably have a little more of an advantage. I think there's some more top-end talent up top right now with the Rangers, although the Hurricanes have some sneaky good forwards. They've just been playing more of a defensive style through these playoffs. So I don't know. I think maybe they'd rather play the Hurricanes just given the goaltending edge that they would have. But I think it would be a very physical, low-scoring, multiple overtime series.
All right. At this point right now, the Hurricanes plus 165 to come out of the East. The Rangers 9-1 if we're looking a couple of steps ahead here. He's Chris Abbott of Cool Bet Canada at Cool Bet Chris on Twitter. Always appreciate talking to you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Chris,
I think we lost him. Before I just hung up, he was ready to go. Right.
He's like, you know.
Good. Bye, guys. Right. I'm good.
I'm going to go bet Draisaitl to win Conn Smythe. That's what I'm going to get off the phone here. He hated that. He was not in on that.
No, not at all. You know, he brought up something that I think is interesting where, you know, there's so much more conversation around Connor McDavid this year, but he has been the best player in the NHL, the most dynamic scorer for years now. But you've got to be on the big stage to really take your stardom to that next level. And it's something that's really important for the NHL is, you know, Sidney Crosby gets older. Alex Ovechkin gets older. It's Austin Matthews. It's Connor McDavid is kind of that next generation of star where you need to win meaningful games later in the year in the playoffs for it to be more than just, hey, they're a lot of fun and they're a great highlight during the regular season.
Yeah, and I think one thing about if we try to translate that into a betting conversation too, like a lot of the discussion already, and I've heard it, I mean, I tweeted something out last weekend about McDavid, Conn Smythe, and like part of the reaction that I got is part of what you get with a player like that. We had this happen with Giannis last year in the NBA Finals, which is the idea that like if they lose the cup final to, let's say, Tampa Bay, like not only could he win being a part of the losing team, which has happened before in the history of the world, I think three times. And I think Jean-Sebastien Jaguar was the last guy to win it on a losing team. But like, could he win it? And not only that, like, is it actually kind of likely that he went, like people were almost going that far of like, not even that there's like a small sliver of a chance, but just by getting to the cup final, now he's like not a shoe in, but like so likely to win because he's, I mean, this sort of goes along with what you're saying of you're sort of talking more about perception. And I'm kind of saying like, well, perception might lead into the voting. It's obviously his on ice performance has to be awesome as well. But we saw that with Giannis last year. I'm sure you remember that of like, could he, like, what if they lose to Phoenix in game seven, but he's as good as he was in that series? Like, could he win the award? Yeah. I didn't think he could because the way the NBA does it, but like that type of conversation, I think this is the type of player we would have that about.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they talked about that in the NBA was LeBron in, what, 2015, when he dragged the Cavs by himself. Kevin Love had gotten hurt in the first round against the Celtics. Kyrie got hurt at the beginning of that series. And I think LeBron averaged like 35 a game. I mean, he was incredible. So, you know, it's Jerry West did it. It's very rare that that happens in the NBA. But look, you and I both are on the same page when it comes to this. There's always narratives involved with it. Any award, end of season award, finals MVP, Conn Smythe, whatever it is, there is always some semblance of a, you know, the narrative, the human element, the voting element that's there. All of those things certainly get factored in. Speaking of awards, you've got even more formulas for MLB awards market coming up. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.